Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you did, because David Minter is back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. David is, as you may remember, is president of Minter & Associates. He's also a principal of Minter Plus Reed, which is a company he owns with his co-author of the book, Lightning in a Bottle, David Minter and Michael Reed, and he's here to talk to us about ideas. David, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
I like what you say in your book that's, in some ways, it sounds counterintuitive, but it really makes a lot of sense, and I'm going to get you to help us understand this. And you have a chapter, chapter 8, I believe, it's called Less is More. You say less ideas is more, less people is more, less words is more. And I want you to talk to me about that. When is less ideas more?
You know, this is an area where it is kind of counterintuitive, but even the biggest companies only need and can only really execute one or two or maybe three ideas at a time in a year. And what's crippling is to have buckets and buckets of ideas without really knowing which one to work on. And so too many ideas is crippling, and it's one of the main reasons why most new products and most new services still fail in America. It's an area where small businesses have an advantage, because they typically start with a shorter list of ideas and whittle down from there. And over again, we see situations where there's too much emphasis on developing a lot of ideas and not enough emphasis on honing them down to the one or two things that you can really accomplish and work on.
Well,
I think
Occam's razor comes into play here, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Occam's razor, the simplest solution is probably the best one? I think small business owners probably get to the heart of an idea quicker than a large company does.
I think so. You know, and one of the, again, it is a natural advantage to small business, because part of what happens in larger organizations is so many people are contributing and feel like they need to throw their ideas and rings into the hat.
Right.
And so you end up, that's where you end up with too many people. And I believe
too much and too much politics.
Too many people, too much politics. And so the idea that less people is more when it comes to developing ideas. You know, we really believe the ideal size of a team of people working on a new idea is somewhere between 4 and 6 people, and that applies whether you're General Motors or you're, you know, the corner bakery.
Right. Before you get into the people side of that,
sure.
David, I want to spin off a little vector of the idea thing, because you said something a second ago that I want to come back to. You said that even big companies don't have the resources to manage a lot of different ideas. They only have the ability, the organizational ability, to really be efficient with a very small number of ideas in a year's time. And I've learned that as trying to be a partner to big companies. Here's what I've learned, and this is my advice to small business owners. If you have something you want a big company to do, if you have an idea for them, you want to take to them something that you think that they ought to do, don't ask them to take your idea and then throw resources at it, because they already have all their resources deployed on their two or three ideas that they've decided are good. If you have an idea for them, something you want them to do, and you want to be part of that, give them the turnkey solution. So if they like your idea, all they got to do is say yes and write the check.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's such a good point, because, as you well know, Jim, when you walk into large organizations, if you want to partner with them, there's never a shortage of ideas. It's always, we have more than we can do, and we don't really have time to do anything else. And so it's almost a self-defeating strategy. If you can't come in and really provide a way for them to participate in a way that doesn't take people off what they're doing is really key. And this, again, it's in the largest restaurant companies in America. It's inevitable when you start talking about what are you working on and what is your path to growth that everybody starts talking about all the smart people they have and all the ideas they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then a quick segue into, but everybody's tied up and, you know, we've got, if you think about it, even the largest companies can rarely do more than a couple things at a time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They got too many committees, for one thing. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break right back with our good friend David Minter. He's the co-author, along with Michael Reed, of the outstanding book, Lightning in a Bottle. It's all about ideas. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend David Minter, the co-author, along with Michael Reed, of the book Lightning in a Bottle. We're talking about ideas, and we were talking just a minute ago before the break, David, about less ideas is better.
Mm-hmm.
And I interrupted you as you were about to say less people is better. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, our experience is regardless of the size of organization, the best size of a team that's working on a new product or new service is, you know, about 4 to 6 people. When you get more than that, you run into problems. Things slow down. Things take longer. It's kind
of being a committee and starts being a team. It starts being a committee, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And if you get into really large groups, 15 or 20 people, which are not uncommon in big companies, the meetings itself, the opening remarks and speech making can take 15 or 20 minutes. So, if you limit it to 4 to 6 people, there's enough work, and the communications are simple enough. We found that is just really absolutely the ideal size. And, if there's occasions where you need to have more people involved, that's okay. But the core team, and really, honestly, if you have to err in one direction or another, even fewer than 4 or 6 is a better idea than more.
Well, and I think this is really, really a revelation for small business owners and good news, too, David, because a lot of times I think small business owners imagine, I think we talk ourselves into being intimidated by big companies. And one of my messages that I've been trying to get across to small business owners for almost 10 years now on this show is you can dominate in your area. Now, you're not going to conquer the world in the marketplace like Walmart has. That's not going to happen because you don't want to do that. That's not even what you need to be doing. But in terms of branding, in terms of ideas, in terms of cool things you can do for your customers, you can dominate in that area, can't you? Can't they, David?
They absolutely can. And, so much of our book is about really taking undoing some of the bad habits that big corporations have, and which, by the way, entrepreneurs haven't picked up for the most part. They don't have so many people that they can put, 20 or 30 people new project. And so it's when you look at it that way, it's very much about entrepreneurs have some built-in advantages because they haven't developed, frankly, a lot of the bad habits that come along with having too many resources.
And the other thing that I fear is happening, I fear that big corporations is where creativity goes to die.
There's a great book called The Barbarians to Bureaucrats, and mm-hmm. talks about how when businesses start, Barbarians to Bureaucrats. Folks are bureaucrats. Barbarians in the beginning, they're meat eaters. They'll do anything. They'll walk through fire because they don't have any choice. They're small, and they have to take chances. At the end stage of a company, the big companies, it's all about bureaucracy. Lawyers are really running big companies when you really get down to
it. Well, lawyers and analysts, stock analysts.
Exactly. And creativity dies.
Shakespeare once said, first thing we do is kill all the lawyers. And I think if he were alive today, he'd say, and then after that, we'd kill the analysts.
and creativity definitely suffers. And it's one of the reasons why, if you've got in any way can bring creativity as a small business to a big company, usually there's some welcome arms, because it's just so darn hard for that to flourish in that environment.
And especially if you can fulfill all of that for them, so they can, I've actually had big companies to do business with me, and basically say they've actually done business with me because I was going to do what their New York agency couldn't get done.
Yes.
My little company was actually going to do for them what their big agency couldn't do, at least not for less than $2 million anyway.
And you know, that certainly happens. We see that as well with our clients, where we're a small boutique type of outfit, but it really applies to us as well. You get big ad agencies and that sort of thing, and you run into the same problems that other big organizations have. And so there's definitely creativity can come in small packages.
So, folks, the idea that you got to have a zillion ideas that the big companies generate to dominate, that's not true. David and Michael have proven, and I agree with them completely, that actually fewer ideas are better, and you can come up with plenty of ideas to be enough. The idea that people, you got to have zillions of people to make this work, that's not true. I mean, your small little team can probably, outthink, out-create, and maybe even out-execute a lot of your bigger competitors. You've got an advantage in that way. Not only, can you do it, you may actually have an advantage. But what about words, David? What about less words?
You know, the idea that less words is more, what we found is that when it comes to describing a new product or new service, you really have about 3 to 5 seconds to capture consumers' attention. And we're talking about when you're talking to them in either an advertising or a sign or what have you. And after that 3 to 5 seconds, if you haven't captured their attention, they're on to the next thing, they're on to the next message, because we're bombarded every day. And so really distilling what you want to communicate, if it's a new marketing program or a promotion of some kind, or it's a new product you want to describe, you can pretty much assume, if you haven't done it in about 7 or 8 words and haven't got it that short, you've still got more work to do to simplify. And we see this over and over and over again when we do our work and talk to consumers about products, that just in body language and their attention level, it's such a short period of time. And again, we're not talking about presenting to businesses. We're talking about when you're really getting in front of a customer unsolicited.
Hold on to that thought. David Minter, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He and Michael Reed are the authors of Lightning in a Bottle. It's a book I highly recommend to you, available wherever books are sold. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm the Duke of Earl. And David and I will be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend David Minter, the co-author of Lightning in a Bottle. His co-author is Michael Reed. Wasn't Michael with you the last time you were here, David?
He sure was.
I think the two of you were here last time.
Yes, we sure were.
Tell Michael we missed him this time. Give us your website, please, David.
It's www.minter, M-I-N-T-E-R, and A-N-D. Reed, R-E-I-D.com.
MinterandReed.com, M-I-N-T-E-R. So check that out, folks. Can they find out more about the book there?
Absolutely.
And the book's available wherever books are sold, right?
It is available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in fine bookstores across America.
Wherever books are sold. Lightning in a Bottle. You've talked to us about some pretty counterintuitive things today. Less ideas is more. Less people is more. Less words is more. Another chapter in your book talks about the difference between segregation and aggregation. And segmentation and aggregation. And you say that whereas a lot of companies are trying to segment and split up markets and go vertical and make sure that they're focusing on the right segment, you say, a little counterintuitively, I think, that aggregation is better. Talk to us about that.
Well, if you go to business school, one of the things they teach you, if you get far enough along in the market research classes, is something called market segmentation. And it's in the form we're talking there is, you know, a basically using a computer model to kind of look at your customer base and split it into buckets. And some forms of market segmentation make complete sense. It's obvious if you've got, you know, if you're in a business and there's obvious breaks of customers, that is not a bad thing. What is a bad thing is there's computer programs that really will crunch your numbers and spit out what are artificial buckets of customers. And people look at this as kind of the creme de la creme of, you know, the highest level of marketing you can perform. Mm-hmm. We found it over and over and over again to be a disaster. And it is counterintuitive, but what we have found instead...
Are you saying that the research produces what you, you know, that was the Pygmalion effect? You get what you think you're going to get?
You know, if you do a market research project on marketing segmentation, hire a big company to do it, and spend a lot of money, what comes out the back end, it seems very scientific, but the reality is it is it's a black box that produces artificial buckets of it's not real. And it's amazing because this is the thing that's one of the more shocking things I think that we believe and have found, that you end up with basically artificial buckets that are not real and that you can't market to. And you would think that smart marketers would have learned this, because over and over again you do these projects, the back end it says you need to go market to these, you know, six groups of customers and figure out how to do that, and it fails over and over and over again. Walmart just had an example of that. The disaster where Walmart went into higher end, try to go upscale, was based on a market segmentation research project, and it was a terrible failure. The chief marketing officer lost her job, and so
they confused their customer, didn't they?
Totally confused the customer. And again, this is something that is a process. When somebody talks about a, you know, computer-driven market segmentation, you know, get your boots on and get your army helmet on, because you're running into a buzzsaw. What we have found instead that is much better is market aggregation. And it's simply, you know, it's much better to have one idea that appeals to 90% of your customers than it does five ideas that each one appeal to 20%. And the reason is pretty obvious. It's expensive to market. It's expensive to tell customers about products and explain them. I'd much rather have one thing that almost everybody likes than different things that a small segment likes.
And see, David, once again, you've lurched towards our small business owners, because you know that if a small business, the future of small business is nothing if not niching, is it? And that's what you're talking about, making sure that whatever it is that you do, that you're really good at it, and that one thing appeals to, as you say, 90% of your customers. In a small business case, that their niche.
Absolutely.
Yeah. David, I've got to wrap it up, unfortunately. We could go on for hours about this, but I hope you'll come back another day. We got a lot more to talk about.
Love to, Jim. Thanks for your time today.
I love your book, by the way, Lightning in a Bottle by David Minter and Michael Reed. Thanks, David. See you next time. Good job.
Thanks
today.
To
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.